Welcome back to the Morning Eye Opener on Newstalk 1450 KNSI. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm your host, Michael John Smith. With me in studio, I have Jeanette Blonigan-Clancy and Marilyn Salzel-Brinkman. They are St. Cloud Times columnists and opinionators, if you will, because Jeanette seems to get put in the opinion page.
I wouldn't say that I'm a column. I used to be a column, an opinion page regular writer, and okay. I decided that I didn't want to meet the deadlines.
So. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, either way, you guys are local authors, so thanks for joining me this morning. We're talking about the little history here about Christianity at local schools and religion and stuff, just to kind of, for the history type of things. Before we continue that, this is in Avon in about 1896, and there was a fight going on. What was life like in Avon, you know, prior to that, as far as this fight between the schools wanting to get rid of the morning prayer and those who want to keep it?
Yeah, I want to say more about about language. One of the people who objected to the prayers in school was Tom Roach, an Irish Catholic. And he is the great uncle of one of my main informants, Lee Schmid. Tom Roach was Catholic, but he objected because the prayers were in German. So that was another thing going on. This county superintendent took the stand and said that 92 districts in the county were almost exclusively Catholic, and he said 90 schools used German readers for the first and second German.
Okay, now I think it'll be poignant to go back to what was life like around that time. Uh-huh. Before we go on to say maybe it should be more English, to give, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it makes a big difference what the setting in life was like.
Right. Most of the transactions, I would say that commerce moved toward English more quickly than, certainly moved more quickly than religion. Religion was the area of life that stuck to language. I remember when I was doing research, I talked to elderly people who could not fathom how they could go to confession, for instance, which is Catholicism is my language. I'm Catholic. And they couldn't understand how they could go to confession in English. And that's understandable. As opposed to the language that they used every day, which was German. So things were changing in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Okay.
And one of the things that made the change was World War I, when there was horrible anti-German feeling around the whole country. Mm. Stearns County got along pretty well because it was so huge. There were so many people supporting each other in their use of language. But my mother, who was a fourth-generation German, never became I didn't like the way she spoke English. You know, now looking back, I realize that that was just normal, though. But the thing that's important here is that we need to understand that for Hispanics and Somalis coming into our community, it's hard to learn a different language.
Now, you said your mom was fourth generation, so you guys were over here and it took her four generations to learn English?
That's what took happened.
So long? Yeah. I'm just curious, what took so long? Was it not a big thing for folks to speak a different language as it is now? It seems to be immediacy. Oh, you're not learning English is the first generation over here, a second generation.
Yeah, good question.
Excuse me. I'm a fourth generation in the United States, and my heritage is German, Austrian, and Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up speaking German. I didn't speak English until I went into first grade.
Oh, really?
And I think that's so, because of our background, we're so non-accepting of the people now that aren't of English speaking.
Mm-hmm.
When we ourselves didn't do it,
how come
we forget?
How come we do so quickly, it seems?
Yeah, I
know.
I have good friends who really, really criticize the fact that we allow Hispanics and Somalis, other non-English speaking people, into our schools before they can speak English. And yet they themselves still inject German phrases and words into their English.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know what I find interesting is that I think for people, I don't think they should lose their native language either.
Right.
I think I'm really envious, you know, now that I've traveled around a little bit, of people who can be bilingual. I mean, we get it in going to school. I graduated in 82, so way back then it was always French, German, and Spanish.
And I found working with the Somalis, and when I was at Legal Aid, I did work with a number of Somalis. Almost every one of them spoke at least two languages. Two of them spoke up to four and five languages fluently.
Uh-huh. So if they don't know English right away, gosh, give them a break. But and if you think of it, the heritage that we have, we've always been like that. But it's just surprising me how people are so quick to forget.
I taught English to the Somalis in adult basic education, and we called it ESL, or English as a Second Language. Uh-huh. Now we're changing to ELL, English Language Learning, because it wasn't a second language for many of them. It was a fourth, a third or fourth language, perhaps.
Oh,
and
I see.
So we changed that. I also entered grade school not knowing German and not knowing English, speaking only German.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, so I loved the way you put the question before. It's so different now because we expect, we're connected with the whole world. When we expect the immigrants now to immediately fall into our way of life. Mm-hmm. But in the 19th century, Germans and Irish people received prejudice too.
Okay, let's go a little further with this. I gotta push this just a little further. I'm okay with the language. Okay, I'm all right with that. Here's what gets me, and I think other people too, is when some people, for their religious beliefs or whatever, take a job as, let's just say, a cab driver down in the cities. Because of their religious belief, they can't have you bring liquor, they can't have you bring animals, they can't have you whatever it is. And that's what gets me, and I think gets a lot of people. I don't want to say I'm prejudiced, I'm not, but on the other hand, when you take a job and you know what the requirements are, then you need to put your religion at the door.
I know.
This is a job that you've taken. And I can go on here with some of the places around here who, in my opinion, have knelt down too much to give these people a break in their in a factory position that they're working. I worked in a factory, and you know what? You're relying on everyone to do things. And if someone has to get off the line to go do their thing, you know what? I think there should be some other way of doing it so it doesn't upset the country that you moved to. You have moved to a different country, and our culture is a little different. And I think we have given a lot to help these people not totally become entrenched in the American way.
I've followed.
But on the other hand, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know.
I have followed those issues, and I figure I simply won't take a position, you know. Mm-hmm. I certainly understand your point of view, and I understand them, and mm-hmm. all I can do is present this history and show people that, well, this is where we come from. This, and we had it a lot easier than they do now, but
it's interesting
you have a point.
It hasn't changed much, though.
Oh,
really,
it
seems,
it
you know
really,
what I mean? It seems like the basic thing hasn't really changed.
Well, I think one of the things that has changed, and I see that in this 1896 school fight story. Mm-hmm. For instance, some people suggested compromises. They said, well, let's just have prayers on certain days of the week. Hmm. Now, nobody today would suggest that because we have a better understanding of separation between church and state.
Uh-huh.
Another compromise suggested was that they would have Bible study instead of saying Catholic prayers. Well, today we realize that we're talking about a lot more languages than just Catholic and Protestant religions.
Yes.
And so we have come some distance. And the other thing is, when the court injunction came out and there was no change on the surface, today that wouldn't be the case, would it? I think every school system would actually obey the law because we are more tightly bound by technology. So, yeah.
Do you guys think that we've become more embracing of other religions and are celebrating them as a religious whole?
I think there are more of us now who do embrace other religions and respect other religions. I think the prejudice is narrow and fewer than it was years ago.
Okay.
But those fewer are vocal. They're very vocal. And so I think the majority of us who are accepting need to speak out a bit more so that we're heard as much as those few who are so vocal.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Yes.
I agree completely.
Squeaky wheel. And it could just be one or two, but if they're the loudmouths. Excuse me. If they're the, you know, but you know, good point. The reason why I was asking is because, you know, we just got back from a fantastic trip to India, which we'll talk about in the coming weeks. But there you have everybody, everybody, meaning religious bodies and communities, that they all seem to get along well. They all celebrate each other's celebrations. They all seem to, you know, get along that way. It's not like, oh, look, they have another holiday off, the suckers. Well, we get it off too. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting how, well, with all those religions that are over there, they seem to make it work. And Christianity isn't topping the list.
But, you know, our culture, our American, our country is based on battles based on religion. And so many of our wars are religious wars. And yet we're the melting pot, but we're not as accepting as other countries who are not melting pots. Is it easier to accept other religions, for instance, and in India, if you are the majority? Basically, the whole country is considered one religion, where in the United States, we're a melting pot of religions, too.
Yeah, it is actually over there, with Hindus and Muslims and
Sikhs.
Sikhs and the whole other thing. And then you throw in the caste system, and then you throw in the ones that, like for Hinduism, you have the ones who eat meat and you have the ones who do. I didn't realize it. I thought all Hindus. But, you know, Marilyn, you brought up a good point. Why do you think that we as a melting pot are still having problems with religion in this situation? I mean, any thoughts about that?
I have an opinion about why we have so much.
I knew you would, because you're like the opinion gal. But you know what? Why don't we wait till after this and you can tell us all about that. Yeah. And then Marilyn will have time to gather her thoughts too, because I haven't forgotten on that. You're listening to The Morning Eye Opener on News Talk 1450 KNSI.